Welcome to another episode of Sophia's Choice, a Golden Girls podcast. I am Alan, and a woman like him don't grow on trees. Ski.
That's right.
And
baby.
That's right. And I'm almost as pretty as him, but of course I have bigger breasts. Brent. Today we're going to be doing the next installment of our playoffs. We'll be taking our 16 teams or 16 episodes down to 12.
This is part two of four of
the playoffs? Well, part two of six altogether.
Gotcha.
So this episode, we'll take our 16 down to 12, then 12 what? Down to 8, and so on and so forth.
16 to 12?
Yep, 16 to 12 after this episode.
We're only talking about four.
We're talking about four matchups, so eight episodes total today. Gotcha. That will be down to four episodes.
Yeah. So yeah, we're filling.
Brent's not that into the March Madness and whatnot. Yeah. So this
having a hard time with brackets.
Yeah, this playoff format's really thrown him for a loop.
Exactly.
I'm trying to think about the only way I think I could make it more confusing is if I did like a euchre based.
I use my brackets like a gentleman in parenthetical comments.
Hey. That's like a parenthetical bracket right there. I've got a little like bracket I made up and pasted on the back of my document for Brent there.
Oh, very nice.
I did it for me, but I was showing him.
Yeah. I think it's
for the listener.
It's nice that you say you did it for yourself, but you're like, oh, I'm just showing it to Brent. It's like, I think we all know that you knew that Brent was going to be confused. You're like, I better have a visual aid available for him, just in case. So.
In my defense, you know, the movie Blue Chips did not talk about brackets.
That is true. That is true. I'll have to grant you that.
The finest sports movie of all time.
It's definitely up there.
Well, as you guys know, I always have a few backup intros.
Yes.
Now, with these, okay. You know, these are culled from four different episodes.
Yeah. I hope they're
eight at different episodes,
I hope they're culled and indifferent.
You know, I don't know if they are or not. Not as much as you are in the sack, anyway.
Zing.
Yep. I thought.
So is this your new feature called the sack?
Yeah. Yeah, and much like this podcast, it's a dead end. And children are in danger if you drive through fast through one. So. All right. Well, I do have a few more intros. Would you guys like to hear them?
Always.
Okay. Well, I thought about introducing Brent as a Brooklyn Italian living in Hollinsworth Manor. Ski could have been Ingrid Bergman. Ingrid Bergman has Paris. He has crabs.
That's right. So Ski. Many crabs.
Yep. And then I was thinking I was not sure which one of you two I would have given this to, but strong, handsome Darren, and now he's got a man.
Either one. I think that goes for both, right?
I thought about introducing one of you as my dead husband, George. But then it's always awkward in that to be like, and my dead husband, George, Ski. Yeah. So I decided against that one.
Well, you know I'm named after my grandpa, George, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The G in your Jeff your grandpa?
So he didn't want any of his grandkids named George. And so my parents still wanted to kind of name me after him, so they took the GEO from George and made Jeff.
Very nice.
And my middle name is John, after my other grandfather.
Yeah, also spelled in a non-common way.
Yeah, well, I've actually seen more and more, so it's J-O-N.
Yeah.
But I've seen that almost half and half from Johns I've met lately.
I guess it's a little more unusual just to not have... Whenever I hear John, I think it's a shortening for Jonathan.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if it's just John, then I guess either way. But I guess Jonathan, in a way, would make...
I kind of wish I had Jonathan as the name because my name's already so long.
Yeah.
I think that would give me a TH, which I don't have yet.
Well, that'd be great, too, because then I think you'd have an ascending number of syllables for each name.
Right.
So, oh, well, maybe next life. let's see. I thought about introducing one of you as he was almost sent up the river on a morals charge. That would have definitely been Ski. So,
I mean, then you have to say... Almost.
Yeah. A connoisseur of chicken chow, I thought would have been good. And who cooks a musician at the height of their career? Ski. But yeah, and then I guess I could have used this one since I said that I have larger breasts than you, Brent, but I could have said to Ski that his bosoms make music.
I have been told that.
Yes, I don't doubt that at all. I thought about he's got the mind of a let's see, what was it? I don't know. I can't even read what it says. I know it ends with the butt muscles of Baryshnikov, but I feel like that was mentioned when we actually, that may have been an intro that I did when we did that actual episode the first time around. Yeah. So, yeah, he ought to have Yutz tattooed on his forehead, but I don't know who would have gotten that. Neither of you are really Yutzes, to be honest. Oh, this is one I wish I would have used for one of you. We just sedated him, so he might not be coherent in a few minutes. So, yeah, I think those are all the ones I had that, plucked here and there from the different episodes we'll review today.
Yeah.
So, do you want me to go over the four episodes, or the four matchups, I should say, or just kind of do it as we go through?
We can just do it as we go through.
All right.
I think that'll work out.
So, Brent's going to be giving us a little, a little info on each one as we...
Just a high-level blurb.
Exactly, yeah.
Just a refresher.
Well, I'm ready when you are, Brent, to be refreshed.
Okay. So for our first matchup, the first episode, we've got season 7, episode 25, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, part 1. And that was the one where Blanche's uncle visited the Goldens, and in a scene that was deleted from the broadcast, Leslie Nielsen finds himself in a She's All That situation with Dorothy. And it's competing against season 7, episode 2, The Case of the Libertine Belle. And that was the one where the Goldens participated in a murder mystery weekend that had more plot twists than She's All That.
Is that even possible? I mean, She's All That is just a whirlwind of plot twists.
It really is. I tell you what, when she took off her glasses, wow.
Yeah, I know. I was
couldn't even recognize her.
Well, no, at the beginning of the movie, I was like, who's this ugly bitch and why is she the lead of a movie? And then the glasses came off and I was like, wazonga.
Same thing.
Did you know she was wearing... overalls?
Yeah.
Same thing. I saw them glasses and I was like, Hollywood has failed me.
Yeah.
So have you guys seen Not Another Teen Movie?
No, I can't say that I have.
It is. So there was a string back in like the 2000s or late 90s and stuff of like scary movie, like weird parody movies.
Yeah.
The only one that I thought was truly good was Not Another Teen Movie. Like I would watch that now and still probably laugh.
The thing that I think is, go ahead, I'm sorry, you finish telling us about that movie and then I'll make my comment.
Okay, I'm excited now. But, so it was still a stupid movie, don't get me wrong.
Sure.
But it was definitely funny and it had a pretty decent cast. But one of the things they do directly is poke fun at She's All That. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, part of the movie was that premise is like, and they say, you know, I could make any girl like, prom queen tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh yeah, well how about this? And it's like, they point out a girl who's like got a hunchback, like Notre Dame style, and another two girls that are conjoined. It's like, oh, too easy, too easy. And then they see, of course, the main girl going over like, no way, man, not her, anybody but her. She's got overalls and glasses. Look, her hair's up. Oh, and she likes to paint. That's, oh no, it can't happen.
Is your favorite part about that cast how later on meth aged them?
The saddest part, man.
Well, he watches it just to see them back when they were pretty young things.
Captain America's in it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Chris Evans?
Yeah, he was like the main male lead, I think. Hmm.
That must be one of the highlights of his career, I'm sure.
Undoubtedly, yes.
Well, I was just going to comment when you said, out of all those, the one that I still like, I'm like, you watched all those? Like, there was a lot. There were like five scary movies. And,
okay, I've not seen all those, no, but I'm just saying.
Like 8 American Pies.
Yeah. Although I wouldn't call those parodies exactly.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I do remember really enjoying the first American Pie. Uh-huh. Like, that was a movie of our time.
Yeah.
But it's, I don't think it's one that probably ages well. I haven't seen it in a long time, but I'd imagine it doesn't so much.
Yeah.
But then again, I bet it ages better than, like, some of those John Hughes movies of the 80s, you know. There's no, like, Long Duck Dong or anything like that in it. So, all right. So, this matchup that we're doing, the first one, this was a barn burner of a matchup as far as I'm concerned. I mean,
it was.
I think out of our four that we were doing today, this was the hardest choice for me because I think it's two really good episodes.
Yeah, they're two of my very favorites.
It was
yeah.
the second hardest for me. But I finally went with... season 7, episode 25, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, part 1. And basically, the Southern Sophia, where she's like wearing her outfit and ringing the bell and a mess of something and all that sort. Plus Lucas being accused of Yankee doodling.
Yeah. Made that one the winner. Yeah, that was a... I think those are both good points on that. I mean, like the corn pone and all that kind of stuff. Like Sophia's part in it was classic.
Yeah. Doing a succotash and a mess of something.
Yeah. Well, and it's weird because it's a part one, but it really does... You know, one of the things I kind of feared with this is since we have several, you know, two-part episodes, that would one episode by itself hold up, you know, enough? And this one, I mean, it really does. Even by itself, it's a good standalone episode. Yeah. I mean, granted, it leaves things on the cliffhanger that leads us into the last, but even the cliffhanger is not that, like, we know Dorothy's supposed to get married after it. It's not like, oh, is she going to survive, you know, type of a deal or anything.
Yeah.
So I thought it was, it was a really good episode. But I also love Libertine Belle. I mean, that one, I think that's... Libertine Belle, I feel like, is... When we went over it last week, or last... You know, yeah, it would have been last week for our folks listening. I know you thought that Dorothy was a little too much in that episode.
Yeah.
I feel like it was one of Dorothy's best episodes ever. Mm-hmm. And so it was challenging for me. But ultimately, I also went with One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest Part 1. Mm-hmm. I just thought there was nothing bad about it at all. Leslie Nielsen was a great guest actor in it. And the story, like I said, even though it was a part one, it really did a good job of packing a lot of info into 20 minutes of show.
Yeah.
So what about you, Ski? Do you buck the trend on this?
Libertine Belle was one of my very favorite episodes. It was my wild card.
Yeah.
But in comparison to these two, I also went with Season 7, Episode 25. So it's a clean sweep.
Wow, well.
It was first seed for a reason.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, this was the one that we rated the highest out of all the episodes in our initial process of going through them. And I don't know that it's going to be the one that stands at the end, but it would have been a little disappointing to see the number one seed get knocked out right away.
By a wild card.
Yeah, exactly. But that was a good wild card choice that you had, Ski, and it failed just short for me.
So. Yeah, me too. It was a really hard choice for me.
Yeah.
But in the end, I thought, final season. Plus, I love Leslie Nielsen and almost anything he's in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's great. Leslie Nielsen's a... I don't feel like I've seen him in a ton of stuff outside of... Like, obviously, there's this, and there was the Airplane movies.
Mm-hmm. Naked Gun. Did you ever see those?
I don't think I've ever seen any of the Naked Gun movies, which I feel like is a little bit of a hole in my...
They're good. They're pretty good. I mean, I don't... How many of those were there? There's two or...
Three.
There are three?
Yeah. And the TV show.
I don't think I ever saw the TV show. I don't think I knew that.
Oh, okay.
And the TV show was after the Airplanes. Like, it was like mid-80s or whatever.
Now, did that come out before the movies or...?
Yeah, like a good 8-9 years before the movies.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So, I didn't realize that at all.
Yeah, I didn't know it existed.
Yeah. So I saw all three Naked Gun movies in the movie theater.
Uh-huh.
The third one I saw at the Cinemark when it was, the 50 Cent Theater or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you guys remember, but in the movies, OJ played Nordberg.
Oh, okay.
And, they'd already, finished filming the third one or whatever, and he had some difficulties in his, private life.
Just a few, right?
And there was one scene in the third one where Nordberg is, suspected of being a criminal or whatever, and the cops are chasing him.
Oh, no!
And there was people in the audience, run, OJ, run! It was just really funny.
Isn't it weird that that's such a flashpoint in our personal histories, like that time frame of like OJ.
Yeah.
I mean, and ultimately he was found, innocent and whatever. I mean, probably the guiltiest innocent person that's ever been found.
Let's be honest. He was found not guilty.
That's true. Yeah. Not guilty would be a better term.
It's a reasonable doubt is the threshold. Boy, there.
That's a tough threshold in that particular case, but,
Well, I mean, he still lost the civil suit.
Yeah, but civil suits are different.
The threshold for a proof or something, the burden of proof is different.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, he has had consequences for it, but...
Still famous and rich.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if he's rich anymore, honestly. He's certainly famous, but I don't know if he's still rich. It is just odd, because, for something where one person kills one other person... Well, two people, actually, right? Wasn't there two people that got killed? Yeah. But and I remember being in class when the verdict came down, and everybody cheered in the class. And now I look back and I'm like, why did we cheer? Like, why were we so sure that... I mean, I guess it was because we were all against the racist cop, which I can agree with that. But, I mean, really, it wasn't the racist cop versus OJ. It was the people who were murdered versus OJ, but...
I remember, so I went to a different high school than you, obviously, the whole time, honestly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And went to Warren Central, which is our black to white population was probably 50-50.
Oh, okay.
Maybe, probably close to that.
Right.
And I remember one guy, also named Jeff, in one of my classes. We were friends-ish. We were kind of like more acquaintances, but like friendly whenever we were around each other.
Yeah, like at the meetings.
Yeah, in the meetings. But like, I remember... When the word did come out that he was found guilty or innocent, or not guilty, whatever, he ran through the halls yelling, "The juice is loose! The juice is loose!"
That's solid. It's a funny way to react to it, but to me that makes more sense than cheering, honestly, because it's like that's just purely for comedy. I'm not going to support that, but anyways. All right, would either of you had any more comments on this first matchup? Mm-mm. All right, well done, Cuckoo's Nest. On to the Elite Eight. Yep.
Da, da, da.
So next up, we have Season 6, Episode 9, Mrs. George Devereaux. That was the one where we learned that George has faked his death and Dorothy has to choose between Lyle and Sonny. Personally, as it always is on this podcast, I'm pro bono.
Hey, you got a third a book out of this podcast. Sure, it may reside at my house currently, but you can take it for your third of the time anytime you want.
And it's competing against Season 4, Episode 22, Sophia's Choice. That was the one where Blanche decides to buy her way off of the itty-bitty titty committee.
That was good. I like that joke.
Okay.
I don't think Ski gave it no props at all, which that seems totally up his alley.
Sorry, I was mid-burp when you were talking.
Normally, you're like, he'd be like, ha-ha, he said a dirty word.
Exactly. Titty's not that dirty.
Well, yeah. You say it with reckless abandon, so. Well, I enjoyed both these episodes. Honestly, like when we got into the so Mrs. George Devereaux, I think is a really good episode overall, and I think, you know, it's the only time I remember in the entire series that there being a real plot twist, because you know obviously George comes back, and you know he supposedly died or you know faked his own death to get out of
child support.
Yeah, I think it was out of tax evasion.
I like to say evasion.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, so he fakes his own death, and then, but then at the end, you know, Blanche is, you know, hugging a pillow or something like that, and she wakes up, and everybody's like, oh, you have that dream again? Which, I don't know how loud she was in that dream or how thin those walls are, but everybody comes to her aid, which she must have really been.
Yeah, and as loud as her bedroom probably is normally,
yeah,
they must just get a show every night.
Yeah,
exactly. Or at least regularly.
But then the other one, what was the title of it again, Brent?
Sophia's Choice.
Sophia's Choice, yeah.
What was that now?
I felt like, when I first came out that we were going to watch it, I was thinking, this must be one that we chose, you know, that we all voted a little bit skewed for because of the name.
I'm guessing.
Obviously being the one that has the same name as our podcast. Mm-hmm.
Well, I thought you threw it in there just because of the name.
No, it was the second highest, it was the second highest score for that particular season.
Okay.
But I thought that it actually was better than I expected it to be, or at least better than I remember it being.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I thought it was a solid episode, and it comes out, you know, nice in the end. You know, they break the old lady out and then send her on to a slightly better facility. Not as good as Shady Pines, although, you know, when you hear Sophia describe Shady Pines, it sounds like Shady Pines is basically hell also.
Right.
But this place is, you know, only the second layer of hell, whereas the new place is even lower down than that.
I like, they call it like Sunny Pastures, right?
Yeah. It's kinda like, that's funny, like putting them out to pasture. Yeah, that was a good name. I know with The Simpsons, I always like to find shirts and things like that that are super deep cuts, where it's like, maybe it'll have a Simpson, like you can kind of tell it's Simpsons because of the art style.
Yeah.
Which is fine, or maybe you can't, and it's just like, oh, someone who's a big fan like myself will get this.
Yeah.
I think a Sunny Pastures retirement community would be a great shirt to
have. You saw his shirt right now, right?
What does the shirt say now?
Springfield Acetone. Oh,
it's very nice. I didn't see that. It's a great shirt.
Yeah, I loved it too. I saw it before. I was like, oh, that's good.
Go Topes.
Now, is that one that's from the Arizona team that's actually named the team?
Yep.
Very nice. Did you get that from their website, or have you actually been to Arizona and purchased it in person?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. No, it's a fake one from the Springfield Isotopes, not the Albuquerque
Isotopes. Oh, Albuquerque Isotopes. That's right. That's the one in Arizona. So.
Yeah.
But still, it's an excellent shirt.
Yeah, thank you.
I wanted to get an Albuquerque Isotope shirt before, and just, I don't know, I think I had it in the cart and just never ended up pulling the trigger on
it. Same. So. I got this one on TeePublic or whatever.
Oh, okay. Do you think that before our last episode that we should go ahead and publish out there an Amazon wish list that people can send us thank you gifts for?
Exactly. I'm sure that would happen.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure everybody's just waiting. You know, like, how can I give money to this podcast that's giving me so much mediocre free entertainment? Yeah. I've got a couple listener interactions to give to you next week, but... Okay. Yeah, it's I don't know. We've had plenty of good ones, but no one has been begging to send us money or purchase merch at this point. One person, I think, did bring up merch one time, but, you know, I didn't get enough time to rush to the, you know, merch shop before he stopped listening. At least that's my assumption.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so, Brent, out of these two, Mrs. George Devereaux and Sophia's Choice, who won out for you?
I did go ahead and go with the season 6, episode 9, Mrs. George Devereaux. Although with that being said, you know, I'm really not comfortable with an episode where Dorothy kicks a man with Stan's physique to the curb in order to be with a man built like her father.
I don't think it's fair to call either of them either of those things.
You don't think Lyle Wagner is tall like Stan?
They're much more svelte than Stan or Sal. So I think that there's...
But Sal and Sonny are like the same height in both Italian and...
Yeah, I mean, they're both the same height. I'll at least grant that much. Mm-hmm. But...
They're both like small, petite Italian men.
I don't know. I think outside of their stature, I don't think there's any other similarities between them and the I'd two you compared them
as
to.
As far as their physique goes.
Okay, well, it's fine, I guess. But I don't know. I don't really have any issue with her picking Sonny over Lyle.
She did seem very excited after the end when Blanche told her she picked Sonny this time.
Right. Well, she was... Of course, too, we've had the whole, you know, the whole episode where she played Cher.
That's what I was going to say. Like, Sonny likes him tall.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, he's been very well documented in that regard.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea? I know he was married several times. Do you have any idea about the other women he married? No. If they were also tall drinks of water?
No idea.
All right. Well, Ski, how about you? Who got your vote for this matchup?
I actually went seed 8, which was, I think, the Sophia's Choice.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. So you enjoyed that one a little better?
I liked it more only on the fact that, you know, we've kind of discussed this a few times, how, you know, a lot of the series is Blanche redemption and stuff. Yeah. Well, I thought she, you know, in this case, there was no extra incentive for her to, you know, give her extra money to a lady that she didn't even really know.
Mm-hmm.
And she did. I just thought it was like a really kind humanitarian thing to do. And so that put me over the top for it.
Well, that's fair. I mean, I thought there were some great lines in that episode too. Like there where were. She talks, where she's showing Rose the different, you know, possible options for breast augmentation.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, yeah, they're nice, but do you sure you want to go with black?
Yeah.
Which that was pretty funny. See, I mean, there's plenty to like about that episode. And like I said, I liked it better than I remembered liking it the first time around. That said, I still went with Mrs. George Devereaux. I think, I don't know, I just thought it was a really solid one, a good Blanche episode.
It was. I agree with that too.
I agree. I thought they were both very funny episodes.
It was a hard choice. I don't think it was as hard as the first one, but
I gave you my reasons for. I went with Mrs. George Devereaux. I guess my biggest complaint about the Sophia's Choice episode is the fact that, like you were saying, you know, it's all well and good that Blanche wants to help Lillian and put her into a home, you know, a nicer home. Okay, but you got to wonder. It's like, how many people like Lillian could she have helped out if she'd have just gone back to the homeless shelter and got that jacket?
They did go to the homeless shelter.
Yeah, I mean,
They did try to steal.
I mean, yeah, you have to give them credit for at least making the effort.
That's true.
I don't know. I think we talked about this the first time around on the episode, but there is definitely the aspect of it where, okay, I realize we're talking about 1988 or 89 money or whatever, you know, season this was in, but you're still talking about $150 a month between four people. I mean, even if you say between three, that's $50 a month. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like that's a crazy amount where people be like, oh my gosh, there's no way.
Insurmountable.
Yeah.
So. There's no possible, I mean, they're always coming up with schemes to make, you know, extra money here, there, and everywhere.
Yeah, how many minks do you need to murder to make $150 a month? Probably not that many. But I don't know. I'm no seasoned mink murderer. I'm more of an amateur. So I couldn't tell you for sure. But
maybe they just need to get some more show chickens to play piano.
That's true, yeah.
They get an entire band worth or something. And or like the dueling pianos.
Yeah.
You know, get a bar going and then they can raise sustainable income.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you could see any animal play an instrument, what animal and instrument would it be?
I don't know. Maybe like an octopus playing a marimba.
Okay. Very nice. What about you, Ski?
How about violent chimpanzee playing a
skin flute?
I was going to say violin.
A violent violin playing chimpanzee. Well, you're both wrong. It would definitely be a gorilla playing a theremin, but but both of your options are fine.
That's a good call. Yeah. I like the theremin.
I know, but Brandon is skin flute. That's pretty solid interjection. Thank you. Brent's been known to interject his skin flute at the opportune times. All right. So
I'll not be playing it.
When we went to Asheville back in the fall or whatever, we went to the Moog Museum. And they had a theremin there that we could play.
Oh, really? It was a lot of fun. Did you do the Star Trek theme?
I did not. And nor did I do Good Vibrations by the Beach Boys.
Well, maybe the next time you go to the museum.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
All right, well, that's our second entry into the Elite Eight. Yep. So we got two more matchups to go with this episode, though.
So we got next up is Season 2, Episode 19, Long Day's Journey into Marinara. And that was the one where Angela tried to make the beast with two wrinkly backs with Sophia's boyfriend. And it is going off against Season 1, Episode 25, The Way We Met. That was the one where Blanche went to the grocery store and came home with more than a loin of pork.
They did have a fight about the loin of pork, though.
They did.
So
it's too extravagant.
So I think that your recaps of these are maybe... I'm going to give a little more context to both of them. So the first one, basically Angela, Sophia's sister, comes to town. And we, you know, hear that she has always been trying to steal whatever Sophia has. At least that's the way Sophia perceives it.
Correct.
And so they're offering to help her find an apartment, but to let her move in with them for a little while until then. And then at the same time, Sophia ends up finding out that her new roommate, after she's found an apartment, is her boyfriend, Sophia's boyfriend. Mm-hmm. His name Mort, is that right?
Tony.
Tony, okay, sorry, yeah, I don't know. But, so...
They both had a T and an O.
Yeah, exactly. So it was a normal mistake.
Yeah.
Mort and Tony are almost always...
Exactly, three consonants, one vowel. Yeah. 25% T, 25% O.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they're practically the same name, honestly, exactly. Now that I say it. But yeah, and so she catches them together and thinks that that they're having an affair, they're sleeping together or whatever, and we find out that that's not the case. And
but the dude was still cheating on her, though.
Oh yeah, the dude was a bad dude, you know, as far as boyfriend material goes.
Gosh dang it, Mort. Tony.
Yeah, but Angela was not a bad sister. So
yeah,
do you feel like Sophia got a little bit screwed over that her siblings have very similar first names, but she seems to be like the black sheep with, you know, you got Angela and Angelo, but, you know, maybe she should have been Angel.
I guess I just assume those two were twins or something.
That's a good assumption, I would
maybe,
say.
Maybe, yeah, that's a...
But yeah, it was, and then of course in The Way We Met was a clip show. In my opinion, the finest clip show of the entire series.
Definitely.
And that kind of recounts the way the three, Sophia kind of gets lumped in with Dorothy.
Yeah.
But the way that Dorothy, Blanche, and Rose met. And I think it was, don't get me wrong, the one with Angela was a good episode. I liked it. Thought it was a solid, as far as, I would say Angela might be the best golden family member.
Yeah.
Out of the entire series. Angela's a close, you know,
movie
right after too. Kirsten.
Yeah. Yeah, Rose has the worst, you know, kids. But, yeah, I think that Angela was great. I thought she was excellent. And she also made a really good, believable sibling for Sophia. That said, the way we met, I just thought is, you know, was a great episode. I think it gave the backstory on how they met, which was good. It was funny. It was a clip show, but it was all new episodes. And it gave us, to me, two of the best things that have ever been in the Golden Girls. A, Blanche dressed like Dazzler from the X-Men. and B, loin of pork. Yeah. Like, loin of pork is in my vernacular now because of that episode.
Yeah.
And so I'm not even that big of a fan of, you know, pork. I mean, I like bacon fine, I guess, and sausage is all right. But loin of pork, I would like to buy one someday just to honor that episode. Yeah. So
Same like I gave to The Way We Met. You know, I gave Long Day's Journey into Marinara a 6.5, and I gave The Way We Met a 7. You know, it had gained a point for loin of pork, but then it lost 2 points for its cocoa erasure.
So you think that they should have had Coco in the background?
That is true. That would have been fair.
Yeah. Exactly.
He would have definitely been in the mix.
Exactly.
Well, so does that mean...
At least a little blurb about how he went back to his home planet.
So does that mean Marinara won for you then?
No. The Way We Met.
Oh, well, you said that you gave The Way We Met 7, but then took 2 points away for the lack of Coco. So I didn't know if that meant you gave it
up. But it gained 1 point for loin of pork.
Okay.
So it went up to 9.
Ah, okay.
And then it lost 2 and went down to 7.
Fair enough. So yeah, I thought it was a solid episode, and that one was a fairly easy choice for me. What about you, Skeeter?
I definitely liked both episodes. I liked the Long Day's Journey into Marinara more than I remembered, but it was definitely an easy choice for me too. I went with season 1, episode 25, The Way We Met.
So that's 2 out of 3 now. We're clean sweep, so there's another entry into our lead 8. I think, I don't know, I feel like we're making the right choices in this one, but then again, all 3 of my choices have been the ones that made it, so.
I concur. It's good that you all agree with my choices.
Exactly. Yeah.
I feel validated.
I think that's the first time I've had people agree with me.
Oh, really?
I think I was...
We agreed on one last week.
Yeah, last week we had one that was unanimous. And yeah, the other 3, Ski and I were in unison.
I felt bad about that.
Oh, I didn't. I thought it was the best part of the episode.
That's fine. Aw, friendship.
This means I'll be able to stand alone when history sides with me.
The history is the way that to the victors, you know, to get to write history. And at this point, Ski and I are looking like we're in the... So far, I think out of all of our matchups, this will be our 8th matchup that we're about to do overall, because we did last week our first round and got through 4 matches. So I believe all 4 of my choices were the ones who ended up, you know, continuing on. This week so far, I'm 3 for 3. So I think last week you had 3 that didn't make it. Ski has 1 so far this week. Yeah. So. But now we got 1 more to get through to you know, give us our 4th entry into the Elite 8. Yeah. So what do we got here, Brent?
We got Season 8, Episode 23, Sex, Lies, and Tortillas. The Golden Palace is overrun by vacationing college students, and Roland is working OT to prevent them from pulling a fast one on the hotel that cannot even make him a competitive offer. And one of the patrons is Rose's soon-to-be-consummated granddaughter, Charlene. And finally, Chewie is attempting to build a 43-foot burrito.
Yep. Now, see, that was a really good overall recap, but I don't know, like, why does that one get the golden treatment from you, but the prior recaps you gave were like, yeah, they had a loin of pork.
Because I wrote that for last week when we only had 4 to go through.
That's fair enough.
This week I had, you know, 16 to write about.
Fair enough.
So, and it's competing against Season 3, Episode 13, The Artist. That was the one where the Goldens try modeling while Sophia takes a page out of our playbook and tries for some yucks.
Did you say you had 16 this week?
Well, even though you're doing them, I still wanted my little notes down.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was like, oh no.
I just wanted my little notes to refresh my memory.
Fair enough.
Even though you're talking about them, I still have to be able to explain my choice.
I understand.
I mean, so far, I don't think we've ever had the burden of double work being done. So I don't think we've ever had a time where 2 people showed up both doing a recap or something for the same thing. So luckily that, you know, has
I said the worst we ever had was like the time we lost an episode and had to re-record.
Yeah, we had that happen a couple times. Yeah. I'll be honest, if you listen to the last couple weeks' episodes, the audio wasn't great, and I apologize for that. It should be back to our normal quality now. But yeah, we had a little issue after the fact, and I did the best I could to correct it in post.
We were both exhausted from running our recaps. We couldn't focus on whether it was plugged in or not.
Right.
You had one job, Alan.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's moving from, you know, the comfort of my own house to, you know, the coolness, but I'll say this much. I feel for you a little bit more now as far as having the drive. It's not a bad drive, but it's, you know, it just adds to the to the effort, I guess I'll say that much. Mm-hmm. So that said, I would still, if my house is done tomorrow, we're definitely going back. I am hoping there's a possibility that our last episode we could have our house, you know, done from the fire, and so we may have one more recording session at my house. We'll see.
Okay.
I hope that you don't throw a hissy fit about it.
Okay. Or maybe you keep the Airbnb for an extra week and we all just go there and have it to our lonesome.
Oh, so we'll just, the three of us will just meet up there in the Airbnb.
Exactly. It's got a hot tub, doesn't it?
No. It has a pool, but the pool isn't open yet. So
be nice and crisp right now.
Yeah. Well, I think, and I could be wrong, but I think our last episode of this series airs on April 8th, which is the eclipse day.
Oh, nice.
Oh, very cool.
So if you happen to go out and watch the eclipse and blind yourself, you can still listen to this show.
That's right.
So we'll
not
still
a thing to see.
Yep.
Exactly. Wait until all your senses are heightened and then you'll need them because our microphones won't be plugged in.
I was going to say, do you think if you were blind and your senses were heightened, you think you would enjoy this podcast more or less?
I mean, probably less, because you'd be less likely to have seen the source material. I think at least if you're a Golden Girls fan, you can kind of relate to that.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you were blind, I mean, you might still have listened to the Golden Girls.
They definitely do have a lot of sight gags.
It would be a real weird thing, though, to be into a podcast that talked about an entertainment, you know, a specific IP, if you were, I don't know, not able to fully enjoy that one IP that we were covering.
Well, I'm saying, like, if they got blinded by the eclipse, though, so they'd had sight the rest of their life.
Oh, okay, so they got blinded.
Yeah, they lost their sight, and now they've just got, I'm saying, like he was saying, their senses are now heightened for sound and stuff.
I would say they would definitely, in that case, enjoy our podcast more, only because their options would be half of what they used to be.
All I know is that, you know, my sensitivity towards the blind community is why I never started my podcast on Pantone chips.
I don't know the joke. I don't know what that means. So I'm sure that most of our audience doesn't either. But I'm sure it's funny if you'll explain it.
When you say Pantone, are you talking about like the color palette?
Yeah, like the color swatches.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you for explaining that. And Ski, I wish you wouldn't have said it, because then I wouldn't have looked stupid by myself. Now instead, you had to be like, no, somebody gets it. I do. I don't get it so much that I'll laugh, but I get it so much that I understand.
This week we're talking about RGY 103-8212. Yeah.
That would be a scintillating podcast. I guess we know what you're going to follow up with after this one. Oh, wait, no, you're not, because your sensitivity to the blind community.
Exactly.
Exactly. All right, exactly. Brent.
I feel for them.
So what's our last episode that we have Sex, Lies, and Tortillas going up against again?
The Artist.
Oh, The Artist. Okay, yeah. Yep. And just to give a little more meat to Brent's recap of The Artist, there's an artist who is apparently maybe works for the museum, or is the museum's resident artist, I guess, something of that nature. At least it seems like, because they all know him very well. Yeah. And he is making a sculpture, and he asks all three of the younger Goldens to pose nude for him, because he wants to, you know, create this sculpture that will showcase all of these different aspects of a woman that he is.
Yeah, but he also asks them all independently.
Yes.
So they think that, like, they're the one. Now, they all know that Blanche is doing it.
Right.
But then he asks Rose and Dorothy on the side.
Yeah.
And so then it is later revealed that all three of them were doing it.
Exactly. And they're all, you know, very attracted to the artist. You know, he's obviously a good-looking guy, and also, you know, has that, you know, that air of being an artist or whatever that makes him that much more desirable.
Yeah, and, you know, you can't spell Hungarian without hung.
Yeah. Now, when you see something like that, does it bother you at all? Like, not bother you exactly, but is there any, like, bit of resentment where you're like, I have neither an accent nor any artistic ability. That's not fair.
Exactly. Guy's a double threat.
Yeah. It's like there aren't a whole lot of women coming up and be like, you know what I really find attractive in a man? His technical writing abilities. Now, some women do like a nice janitorial, you know, a custodian. What would you call yourself? A custodial artist.
Custodial artist.
There's some ladies looking to be swept off their feet.
Yeah. Aww, that's good. I like that one.
Yes, he'll plunge his way into your heart yet. But
I love how you act as though I did get that job.
That is true.
Well, listen,
I never even actually applied for it. In fact, it was given to someone before it was ever posted. Go ahead.
Well, no, go ahead.
Puppy Goo Goo will fetch you that dream someday.
Well, so I think, you know, to reiterate, the plan was to do more like cleaning, sure. and like what's called PM, preventative maintenance work, right? Mm-hmm. They never posted that job, first
some
of all.
PMs for the BMs.
And it turns out... So
preventative maintenance service?
Yeah. PMS? The poor Brent's over there about to burst. He's like, yeah. They'll get it. They'll get it. Wait. But,
once again, I'm gonna click behind.
But yeah, bottom line, like they not only didn't post that job, but also like the people that they end up giving it to, it's just a janitorial job.
Good.
So it wouldn't have been anything I would be interested in anyway.
I love you more than pretty much any man that's not related to me. Like you and Brent are on pretty much a similar level. Maybe one or two other dudes out there, but it's a very select group. But there's a big part of me that I'm like, it would have been so great if you got the job. And then it just ended up, they're like, yeah, I think these ideas are great. And then all it was janitorial.
Just clean up crap. And
there just would have been that part of me that I would have, I don't know, had the Freudenschweid or whatever.
Fraud.
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, basically, you know, laughing at someone else's misery. It would only last a very short while, though. It just would have been like, oh, I kind of saw that coming, that they weren't going to let you be this janitor / you know, technical, you know, preventative maintenance.
Well, I guess technically, you know, I misrepresented slightly there, because the truth of it is I was going to pitch what I think the job should have been.
Yeah.
Right? And it would have included all this extra stuff. But then, like I said, there was never any real discussion. I actually did talk to my boss about, hey, this should be
no longer there.
No, he's still there. Okay. He got moved into a different position.
Gotcha.
But I said, hey, this would be a really good thing for our plant, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
did he get moved into a different position because he took your idea and claimed it as his own?
He did not.
And they were like, that's the stupidest thing we've ever heard.
That part I can't attest to. I wasn't in any rooms with that discussion. But
and then you suddenly find out he wasn't that big of a fan of yours after he left.
Yeah, after you cost him his cushy job.
But actually, I think he's probably in a happier spot now that he's got less responsibility.
Well, I'm glad that it worked out for him, at least.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that you, I mean, even though I say it in a joking manner, I'm glad you didn't end up getting a job that completely turned out to be an awful version of what you were hoping it would be. So,
life happens. Yeah. I would have made it somehow.
All right. So, so Brent, between tortillas and artist, would end up getting your vote for this.
The artist.
The artist.
Yeah, I don't think I need to explain myself.
How about you, Ski? Which one got it for you?
I also gave it to the artist.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I like the, you know, as far as the Golden Palace episodes go, it was a solid enough one. I think it was funny. But, yeah, the artist was just, it was a really, really good episode.
Yeah.
I think that it was solid from start to finish. And actually, I did, you know, I'd have to say I thought that the sculpture that they show at the end is actually a pretty, you know, nice-looking sculpture.
Yeah.
So. My big complaint is that he didn't ask Sophia.
Yeah.
She was busy with her yucks.
Yeah.
He could have, you know, shown her wisdom side, you know.
Have either of you two ever used a whoopee cushion successfully on somebody?
No, not
successfully. Man, maybe as a kid, I'm sure I owned one or two.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure I tried. Maybe someone eventually did it, they would see it and then do it out of pity, maybe. Oops, I had no idea.
Well, that's why you lost your virginity, isn't it?
That's right.
They saw it and then they did it out of pity.
Not just then, Alan.
Yeah.
Every time since.
He lost his virginity in a she's all that situation.
Yeah.
Over and over and over again.
So would you say that his
all situation... three times.
So you're saying that it was the glasses that were holding Ski back all that time?
Exactly. And then he Clark kept Kent.
Whipping those glasses off and then the ladies would swoon. Now Ski is I would say that out of the three of us, Ski seems to be the one that has the most women who are waiting in line for his wife to die.
What?
Because Ski is a very affectionate person, very attentive and whatnot. And, you know, I don't know about you, Brent. I know that it's an area that I wish I was, that my wife wishes I was better at as far as, you know. Now, granted, I'm probably a much better lover than Ski, but he's much better at showing love.
I don't know. Apparently, Ski knows his way around a wet spot.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, yeah, I don't know. I get the impression that Nicole has no shortage of women who have expressed their interest in taking over for her if she's ever no longer able to perform her duties.
It's a weird conversation.
Well, I mean, it's a conversation your wife has had with other people, so it's a more weird conversation there than us talking about it.
Agreed. Maybe that's why it's weird for me.
Is she handing out, deli tickets? Or...
It is funny, though, because we say so many horrible things about Ski on a regular basis and his family and all that. He is so much more comfortable with that than me giving him any sort of a compliment.
That's why I refrain.
Yeah. And he appreciates it.
I don't want to make him feel awkward.
Brent's a true friend.
Yeah.
And I would even say thank you for being a friend. Speaking of which, side story. A few weeks back when I was doing my the poems, right, for my recaps, I probably told you guys about my friend Pam that moved out of state.
Mm-hmm.
I would help her every now and then because she didn't have a car.
Yeah.
Well, she had actually, they've got a temporary place they're living right now, and she sent me a text asking if I would let our HR group know where they're living right now so they get their W-2s, right?
Yeah.
And so I passed that on, and while I was working on stuff for Golden Girls podcast, she texted back, thank you for being a friend.
Oh, that's fine.
I forgot to share that with you guys last time, but I gotta remember that.
I can't imagine doing that. I can't imagine, so Brent, easily one of my best friends ever. He and I worked together. You and I, Ski, also worked together way back in the day. I can't imagine being hey, buddy, can you talk to HR to have them send this to me? Why the fuck wouldn't she just call HR on her own? It's such a weird thing to be can you, third party, talk to this business entity?
I didn't even think about it. I was at work, I guess one at the time.
Mm.
But, I knew I was going to be there the day after or something. And I was like, yeah, sure. It's no big deal.
If Ski is a victim of his own kindness at some times. Anyways, all right, well, we got, that was a clean sweep, so three of our four episodes today.
And all the ones that you picked were...
Yep, exactly, I'm 8 for 8 so far.
It's a pretty good record.
I might as well just name my Sophia's Choice right now, and we'd be done with it.
Oh, yeah. I'm on board with this. Give you your parting gifts and show you the door.
A few high fives.
Yep, exactly, but no, we're not ending it yet. You got us for a little while longer on this Golden Girls journey. But we've got four down, so... So today we've got Moving On into the Elite Eight, Season 7, Episode 25, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Part 1. We have Season 6, Episode 9, Mrs. George Devereaux.
Correct.
We have Season 1, Episode 25, The Way We Met, and Season 3, Episode 13, The Artist.
I was a sole dissenter this time, wasn't I? We had three for three on all the other ones.
Yeah, exactly. So The only one who was wrong on one of them was Ski. Last time Brent was wrong three times, but this time he was 4 for 4.
That's right.
Good job.
You can feel some pride.
It only takes 1 out of 3 to make the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. But you were 1 out of 4 last time, so.
So that makes me what, 5 for 8?
Yeah, 5 for 8. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good numbers.
But I'm 8 for 8, so you know, let's keep it in perspective.
Okay. if the vote was happening today, he would get it over us.
Yeah, I'm 7. He's 7 for 8, so. You're still blowing Brent out overall.
That's okay.
But Brent's time is coming, I'm sure.
That's right. So.
All right. Well, do you guys have anything else to add here? For
playing the long game.
Okay. This has been a long game.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, anything else to add before we get out of here for
tonight?
Remember
when I was like, yep, and we'll be all wrapped up by December.
Yeah. You know, I'll tell you what, my life, obviously we had the fire at the house and that kind of pushed everything around a bit. And I mean, you were just delusional when you thought we'd be done in December anyway, but even if nothing challenging would have happened, I don't think that would have worked out. But that said, I don't know, I'm glad that we've still maintained it even with the other challenges we've come across. Mm-hmm. So I'll just put it that way. So, all right. So do you have anything else to add?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
And you, Ski?
I think I'm good.
All right. Well, until we get to our next episode of the playoffs, stay golden, Coco.
Hey, thanks so much for downloading today. If you enjoyed that opening, you should definitely check out Ashley Jade on YouTube. She has a bunch of awesome compositions on there. If you want to get in touch, you can email us at sophiaschoicepodcast@gmail.com. You can also reach us on Twitter at sophiaschoicepc. We plan to have a new episode out every Monday. If you have a moment, give us a rating on iTunes or wherever else fine podcasts are downloaded. And of course, stay golden.